when you're doing what you were designed to do and being, and maybe even more importantly, being who you were designed to be. One way DISC is used a lot is to performing teams. And if you can form teams and get people using their strengths, wow, they can turn from poor performers to great performers. It's just a joy to watch.
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. This is Karen Conley, and I am here with my husband, Chris Conley. We have with us today part two of our fantastic conversation with Judy Zitzloff. Judy is the president of Zitzloff Training Resources. For 38 plus years, you have led your company and helped train employees and businesses in how to get the best out of their employees. Judy, thank you so much for joining us for part two of our conversation today.
Thank you for having me.
Judy, the first part was fascinating on so many levels. You did such an excellent job of going through the DISC profile and giving us all the qualities and attributes that are associated with the D and the I and the S and the C. What we would love to do today is for you to begin to give us the biblical perspective of this profile in how we can begin to see things from God's design and how that even enhances our understanding to a greater degree.
I was first introduced to DISC about 35 years ago. It was an instant love affair. I fell hopelessly in love. And at an earlier part in my life, I had promised God that my brother had had a tractor accident, and the tractor had tipped over on his leg, and he was rushed off to the hospital about 50 miles away, and he was in surgery for 8 hours and in and out of the hospital for 2 years. And at that point, I promised God that if he would save his leg, that I would become a missionary. Well, you know what? God did his part. He kept his promise. But I never, ever became a missionary. I've always loved God, but I would definitely say that my personal relationship with him has deepened. And so when I met DISC, I actually then did end up going and getting a social work degree because I figured, you know, if I'm a social worker, then that will be my mission field. Well, that turned out not to be such a positive thing. So a friend of mine told me about a three-day training program called Adventures and Attitudes, and I was intrigued by that. So I went to that training and there decided, you know what, I really wanted to be a trainer, and that was going to be my mission field. And as I think about that, in fact, I mean, this completely changed my life. And so my mission statement or my vision statement is that I create environments where people are inspired, challenged, and encouraged to be their best selves. And to me, that is what DISC is. It helps me to recognize, to understand, what are those gifts that God gave me? What are those things that he has designed me to do? And what has he called me to do? How has he called me to lead or to parent or to be a friend? I read an article that talked about, and I thought this is so true, find your divine design and calling and passion that God has placed in your heart and chase that passion like it's the last bus of the night. And so that sheer joy you experience when you are doing what you were designed to be and do. And that, to me, is really what DISC can help do. It helps to organize your strengths that God has given you. But I think with that comes the responsibility to use our strengths appropriately, to find those environments that encourage our strengths, that motivate us, that help us to be our best.
Judy, when I listen to you describe that, it's difficult for us to be a good steward of our strengths, of our gifts, and of our personality if we don't understand what has been given to us. What I have found in over 20 years of pastoring is that perhaps the thing that prevents people from growing the most is not finding their gift in using it. When people stop serving, they stop growing. I think one of the things missing more than anything is for people to know how God designed them, how God gifted them, and then once they begin to use their gifts in that way, that fuels their passion in pursuit of God in tremendous ways.
Exactly. Bingo, you are right on. I could not agree with you more. It's that energy when you're doing what you were designed to do and being, and maybe even more importantly, being who you were designed to be. One way DISC is used a lot is to perform in teams. And if you can form teams and get people using their strengths, wow, they can turn from poor performers to great performers. It's just a joy to watch. So as a leader, it's so important to be able to bring out the best in people. I have a friend who, in her email signature, she has, "Your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card. How you leave others feeling after having an experience with you becomes your trademark."
That is excellent. So repeat that one more time. Make sure our audience captures that.
Okay. Your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card. How you leave others feeling after having an experience with you becomes your trademark.
That's fantastic. Judy, for that leader that's listening right now, bring this element in of introducing the biblical assessment portion of that. How does that bring even another totally new dynamic to this time-tested resource?
Well, I think it brings the spiritual aspect. You know, I think that's such a huge part of who we are. For using our strengths and checking in, maybe with God, I think the opportunities that we are given have so much more meaning. So if I'm forming a team and I am totally using people's strengths and bringing out the best in them, then they're going to see Jesus in me.
I totally agree with that. Totally agree with that.
There's a concept that I often use. This concept is universal. I call it the judging to valuing ladder. So I'm going to ask you to imagine that you have a ladder in front of you. This ladder has five rungs to it. This ladder is kind of a natural progression of how we tend to view and treat others. So on the first rung of the ladder is judging. Back to that whole self-awareness being at the heart of effectiveness. What we don't understand, we judge. Mm. The natural instinct, if we're different, we're going to judge. And it's instinctive. We are always doing that from very limited perspective. I'm doing it from how I see things. So we do this to ourselves and we do it to others. So if I'm living on that judging rung of the ladder, then when I see you do something different from how I think it should be done, what am I going to do? I'm going to judge that and I'm going to say, well, that's wrong or that's stupid or whatever it might be. And then sometimes I judge myself and say, well, I'm not very smart. And when we're on that rung of the ladder, if that's where we're living, it's a very critical, energy-draining, conflict-inducing environment. Lots of misunderstanding and disconnect. And what happens to trust when we live in that judgmental rung of the ladder? It's non-existent. So one of the ways that I think DISC is so helpful from a secular or a biblical perspective, what we want to do, and DISC introduce that miracle drug disc, right?
Sure.
When we introduce a tool like that, we can move up to the next rung of the ladder, which is understanding. And you know what? If we can just get our minds and ourselves to start to open our mind and wonder why. Oh, why did you just do it that way? Why did I just do it that way? Oh, you did it that way because data was important to you. Oh, I did that because enthusiasm was important to me. And this gives you that language. And as a leader, as a parent, as an anything, we need to really, truly understand people.
When I listen to you talk about these rungs of the ladder and understanding people, a picture that comes into my mind that's a biblical picture is Paul and Barnabas got sideways with one another over a disagreement and a conflict with John Mark. I would say that Paul is probably the D. He's going to get it done. And Paul might have some of that C in him where he's got to get it right because he was a Pharisee and just was really precise in things. Whereas Barnabas is known to be more of the relational guy. He's the I and maybe the S, the harmony. What we saw is that Barnabas really took John Mark under his side and kind of restored him. And then Barnabas then came later back with Paul and kind of helped Paul see that, you know, he shouldn't discard John Mark and was really this person that relationally understood Paul's strengths as a D, but valued people and was able to understand those rungs of the ladder as well to bring harmony back in the situation and cause all three of them to be useful.
Exactly. And you know what? I think he also had moved up to that third rung of the ladder, which is respecting. And respecting is another whole, it's about being very intentional about understanding. It's being more conscious about it. Because I now not only understand why you did what you did, but I appreciate it. I respect it. You bring data to the picture, or you bring this to the picture. But I also think self-respect is important here, and I can value what I bring. So we get less judgmental and much more understanding. And you know what? That also affects how I'm going to treat you, how I'm going to communicate with you. So if I know that you have a certain need, then I am going to be more respectful in my communication. So respecting is so important.
Judy, as you're talking about this, what I love about what I'm hearing is if you are in a position to be leading your team or your business or your family, even just gaining this knowledge about the people within your sphere and having, whether it be your children or your coworkers, your colleagues, do something like this and participate in the DISC Biblical Behavioral Assessment, it helps you to be more like Christ because it gives you that empathy and that understanding by you modeling that and valuing people and valuing and knowing that he may be different from me, but you're off that judging ring of the ladder. Now you as the leader, whether they do anything with it or not, it's still a win for you because you are going to be able to treat them with more respect, with more understanding, and value them for who they are. And everything about that is going to be Christ-like.
Wow, you're getting to the top of the ladder right now.
I don't know the ladder, so tell us about the ladder. We've got judging, understanding, respecting.
You're only on the third rung, and you've already gotten almost up to the fifth.
Oh, goodness. Take us back. We missed number four.
Exceptional, which really is so true, because that fourth rung of the ladder is appreciating. Mm. And appreciating is thanking people, noticing, calling attention to, wow, you did a really great job. And I think this is where DISC gets so important, because each of the styles has a different way that they feel appreciated. So if I am going to show appreciation to all people the same way, then it's not going to be as meaningful. So understanding DISC and knowing that a way to show appreciation to a D is give them a pat on the back and say, great challenge, and now here's another challenge. That eye, oh man, write them up in the front page of the newspaper. Tell the world. The Ask the Course wants it to be very sincere. And they want it to be the team to get the credit. And, of course, the fee, much more quiet, one-on-one, no newspaper, please. But that reassurance and how the data helped. John Gottman, who is a noted research psychologist, he works a lot with marriage models, but it pertains to the business world or any world you're in. And he can watch a 3-minute video clip of spouses talking together. And he can predict with over 90% accuracy those spouses that will stay together. Now, what do you think he's looking for?
Maybe their ability to communicate to their spouse in a way that is effective given their makeup.
Pretty close. What he's looking for, the ratio of positive to negative exchanges. And what he has found is that the spouses who have 5 positive exchanges to every 1 negative exchange are the ones that will stay together. Now you can say, well, nobody's going to divorce me at the office. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. If I do not show appreciation and I do not recognize you, and the whole thing I take away from that is we need to praise more and condemn less.
Yeah, so Judy, let me decode this for a second. Karen, she's saying you need to compliment me more.
That's 1 negative. You better go with your 5 positive.
Well, but I think that brings up a really good point, Chris. You know, we need each other for our differences. And we need to compliment each other. I think that is a really important concept. And for some of us, it doesn't come as natural. When I'm working with leaders, what I say all the time is, you need to find a way to do it. Find a way that is comfortable for you, but you need to do it.
Well, and kind of the first place that our brain goes when we're thinking about leadership is not always to the home or to our marriage. We all have multiple hats that we wear, and for some that are not married, that obviously doesn't apply. But if you would apply these first to the relationships that are most important to you. Don't neglect what you're hearing and applying it to your own family, because it does not matter how successful or how well you implement these tools within your workplace. If you don't have those healthy relationships in your home, nothing really matters.
So, Judy, make sure I've got this correct. The 5 rungs of the ladder, the first is judging, the second, understanding, the third, respecting, the fourth, appreciating. Now, what's the fifth?
Valuing. And so we think of leading like Jesus. He valued everybody. And I think that's where, for us to lead like Jesus, we need to get to that rung of the ladder. And the only way you can get there is if through understanding, respecting, appreciating. If you don't get to the top of that ladder any other way. And so valuing is about not only understanding and respecting and appreciating, but it's about embracing the differences. It's about utilizing the differences. And, you know, when you have a family or a team or a group of any kind where people truly, truly honor each other and value each other, wow, it's a whole different relationship. In fact, we used to have a psychologist on staff, and he said, this just makes so much sense to me. He said, when you're initially in a relationship, you are looking for somebody who is good to you. Bring me roses. Take me to a nice dinner. As the relationship progresses, you are looking for somebody who is good for you. Mm. So now we're making up for each other's differences. And ultimately, your really good relationship, you are looking for somebody who is good with you. And that's what valuing is. We are good with each other.
I love that progression.
Powerful concept. So I would encourage the listeners to really think about those 5 rungs of the ladder and to say, where am I? You know, where am I on this ladder? Where do I want to be? I find myself at the end of every interaction saying, where was I on that ladder? Did they feel respected? Did they feel understood? Did they feel valued? If the answer is no, it's going to be back to that trademark. They're not going to be feeling so good about themselves.
Judy, as I sit here and I think about Chris and his leadership, both in our home and with his staff, I think one of the things that I do admire most about him, he is perfectly comfortable knowing that he has strengths and weaknesses. He doesn't pretend to be good at everything, and he values the things in other people that he's not good at. And so it's not a threat to him, and it's not something that he's afraid of to have somebody with a different makeup. He actually embraces that because he knows that together, whether be within our family or within our staff, you need a D and an I and an S and a C on it. Whatever team you're on, that's a beautiful picture when we all work together. That is something that just in listening to what you're describing, I think, gosh, what a great tool just to think about that ladder. And like you said, at the end of a conversation with someone, to begin that discipline of maybe just evaluating until it becomes second nature. I'm sure it's second nature for you, but I've not heard that ladder before. And so go, man, when I walk away, for people to feel valued.
You know, along with that, too, I think it's really important that we are constantly reflecting on ourselves and our behavior. And one of the things I recommend is if people do go and take the biblical behavioral assessment, I can certainly send them this or if in any way that they would want, but I call it my contributions, and it's a handout listing my strengths, my priorities, what motivates me, or what I need to be aware of, my growth opportunities, my motivators, what stresses me out. And I set a date with myself on the first of every month. I put it on the calendar, I don't care what day of the month it is, to pull out my contribution list and just really reflect on it and pray and say, you know, am I using my strengths? Am I being wise about the opportunities that you've given me? Am I in the center of your divine design for me? And that has really helped me a lot, because then it's always kind of there. And you're thinking about it then for that month. And then the next month you're reflecting again. And one of the things I have on there is to praise more and condemn less, because it's natural sometimes to find what we don't like in the situation or find what we don't like in the person. So I think, Chris being very aware and embraces the differences, that is just a great trait.
Judy, is this a resource, my contribution list? Is this something that people can find on your website? Is there a way to get a hold of that resource?
They can email me at judy@fitflawtrainingresources.com. I would also be happy to send along the judging to valuing ladder handout as well. So absolutely.
Zitzloff is Zitzloff. Judy Zitzloff.
Got it.
Before we wrap up, one thought that just came to my mind as we kind of close this section, understanding the DISC profile from a biblical perspective, is I was just sitting here thinking how amazing it is that Peter made some of the biggest mistakes. Jesus had some very harsh words to say about Peter at different moments in their 3.5 years together. Peter is that high D, he's that risk taker. But after the resurrection, what did Jesus do? He came and put Peter in charge. So it just shows that amazing forgiveness and understanding of every strength has its weaknesses, and everybody's got to balance those things out. But Jesus wasn't looking for a perfect leader. He was looking for a faithful leader.
Yep, exactly. That is a great summary.
Judy, thank you so much for lending your expertise to this conversation, for bringing this DISC assessment to life. We just want to encourage every leader out there, anyone who has influence on anyone, that makes you a leader. Go online, leadlikejesus.com/disc. Check it out, use it, and you will bless yourself and anyone you lead. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.